my witness, but I want to show you that it wasn't actually a command of Jesus. It was actually a statement of what would happen if we allowed the Holy Spirit to infiltrate our hearts and change us. The big difference. So we've got a few minutes to just wrap this up. I want to take a look at Acts 1:8, and I want to set the scene. So Jesus had just finished being crucified. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin, death, and Satan. And then there was 40 days between his resurrection and the time he ascended to heaven. And in that 40 days, he taught his disciples what it would mean for them to be living his life, to follow him after he was gone. And they asked him if this was the time that he was going to defeat the Roman Empire and restore the kingdom of Israel to the earth. And he said, well, that's really not your business. You go to Jerusalem and you wait for the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to come on you with power, and then watch what happens. So Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so they're in Jerusalem at that time. And so Jesus said that. The gospel, the good news about him is going to spread in concentric circles all the way out. It's going, and as David said, it's going to be unstoppable. So you will be my witness. Now, what does that really mean? There's a book written about 35 years ago, I think 1983, by a guy named Alison Trites. He was a professor. And it's called The New Testament Witness in the World Today. And he said that the key to understanding Acts chapter 1:8 is to understanding what it means to be a witness. We need to understand what it means to be a witness. And so we're going to take a look at that over the next few minutes here. When the Lord got a hold of my life when I was a young adult, I took my faith very seriously. And I went to Bible college. I studied theology. I studied, did biblical studies and studied apologetics. And I studied evangelism And I came out of Bible college, and I thought I had all the answers. I was kind of that guy. And I wasn't afraid to give anybody a good debate whether or not they wanted one. That was me. And I thought it was my job to convince them of the truth of the gospel, whether or not they wanted to hear anything. So I did everything in my power to convince them that I was right and they were wrong. I learned how to share the four spiritual laws. I learned how to share the Navigator's Bridge, and I took a course in how to be a trainer in evangelism explosion. And I did all this because I thought my job was to convince people. And I thought that if I could just put together a good enough gospel presentation, then people would fall down at my feet in tears and repent. And that's sort of the picture I had in my mind of what it meant to do evangelism, to be a witness. But what usually happened was actually the opposite. They ran away crying. They avoided me. And when they saw me, they didn't want to be around me because I was that guy. Now, don't get me wrong. It's very important for us to know how to talk about our faith. And if you don't know how to do that, you need to come and talk to us because it's really important. But is what I described about how I approached being a witness really what Jesus was talking about when he said, "You'll go to Jerusalem and be my witnesses"? So Alison Trites, in his book, asked, why do we try so hard to be the prosecuting attorney when God has equipped us to be a witness? Why do we try to be the prosecuting attorney when Jesus has called us to be a witness? And so we need to imagine a courtroom. Dr. Tim Gettert, he was one of my profs in seminary, and he wrote an article that gave a picture of what this might look like, and let me read a short excerpt for you. He said, Jesus is on trial. Well, at least people are making a decision about Jesus. Those still undecided, well, that would be the jury. So you're imagining a courtroom. In this trial, there are attorneys at work. And so who is it that plays the role of the defense attorney, the one seeking to lead people to think well of Jesus, to acquit him of all charges, to declare him innocent, to prove that when he was arrested and brought to trial, well, it was all a mistake? Well, that would, of course, be the Holy, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus even called the Holy Spirit an advocate, using a word that both then and now can apply to an attorney at law. But there's also an accuser. Then and now, the accuser seeks to bring a negative verdict, seeks to lead the jury to condemn and reject. So the jury, now picture a courtroom, the jury are those who are undecided about Jesus. They're your friends, they're your colleagues, they're your classmates, they're your neighbors, they're your family members. They might know about Jesus, but they aren't convinced in their mind that Jesus really is who he says he is or who you say he is. And there's the defense attorney. The defense attorney is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who is working in the hearts of people all around us. He's working in your heart. He's working in the hearts of everyone around us. And he's working to develop us, to shape us so that we look more like Jesus. And there's also the prosecuting attorney. That's the accuser of the brethren. That's how the Bible describes Satan, the accuser. He's the prosecuting attorney. And Trite said that our role as followers of Jesus is to be his witnesses who are called upon by the defense attorney, by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've never seen a live jury in action. I've seen them in the news and movies and things like that. But I've never once seen a witness turn to the jury and tell them to hurry up and make a decision. Anybody ever seen that happen? It doesn't happen. And if it did happen, the judge would put a stop to it. And he'd say, that's not your job to convince the jury. The judge would say, that is the defense attorney's job to convince the jury or the prosecuting attorney. It's not our job to hurry people up to make a decision. So, lost my place. So, Gettert continues. He says, their role, that is, the witness, is to be witnesses, to respond to the leading of the attorney, to provide the information needed so that the jury or the panel of judges can reach a correct conclusion. Their job is not to convince, but to bear witness, to say what they have seen and heard, to be honest and forthright. It's the lawyer's job to take what witnesses contribute and use it to persuade the jury or the judge. So who's the lawyer? The Holy Spirit. His job is to convince and convict. And a lot of times we think that's our job. And we point our fingers and we tell people that the way they're living is wrong. And we judge them and we're critical of them. And we try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is simply to bear witness to what has happened. How has Jesus changed our lives? What has he done in our life when called upon by the Holy Spirit? We don't speak out of turn. If a witness in a courtroom speaks out of turn, the judge puts a stop to it. It's not your turn yet. Just hang on. Just wait. Each person here this morning who has met Jesus and who has received his forgiveness has the Holy Spirit living in us. And we are going to be called upon by the Spirit to give witness to what Jesus has done in our lives. Sometimes we're going to be called upon to speak words, actual words. Sometimes The Holy Spirit is going to just reflect the character of Jesus through our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And people are going to look at us and say, there's something different about you. Can I ask you for the hope that you have? That's what 1 Peter said, right? Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope you have in Jesus. And so that's the Holy Spirit. When he speaks, when he asks us, we open our mouth. We don't have to have all the answers. That's not our job. It's not our job to convince. We simply need to allow the Holy Spirit to continually change our hearts, to continually repent, to continually move towards Jesus, so that our hearts and our minds and our characters are changed by him, so we become like him. So the question for us this morning, Camel River Baptist Church, is this: how can we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, be the kind of loving community that gives credibility to the things that we say are true about Jesus, so that when people ask us what our hope is, they'll believe us? Are we letting the Holy Spirit change us so we are becoming that community? Remember, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." It wasn't an order. It wasn't a command. It was a statement of what will be if we allow the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and our minds and our characters. People will stand up and take notice. In other words, we are the evidence. Consider Exhibit A. We're the evidence. The defense attorney is going to call you to the witness stand, and he's going to speak to your family. He's going to speak to your friends. He's going to speak to your colleagues. He's going to speak to your classmates, and he's going to say, "Consider Exhibit A. Look at how he or she loves. Look at the love that just exudes from them. Look at the joy. Look at the evidence in their lives that I am working. Look at how that community of believers loves each other. Look at how their lives are transformed. See how they're becoming more and more loving and kind and gentle and joyful all the time. They're way less an idiot this year than they were last year. And I'm looking forward to next year, when they're going to be more loving and more kind and more gentle. Look at how they stick together. Look at how they don't criticize one another. See how they bear one another's burdens. Look at the evidence. Look at the fruit. See how they don't gossip about each other. They desire the best for one another. They believe that others want the best for them. They aren't judgmental. They aren't critical. They aren't pointing their fingers. Look at the evidence. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come on us and he would give us his power to be his witnesses. Do we believe that the Bible is true? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit was just for back then with the apostles? Or do we believe that it's for us? He is for us. His power is for us. Jesus is working right now. The Holy Spirit is working in people around us. And he's working in our hearts. He's giving us opportunity. He's giving us an invitation to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, because he said he is gentle and humble in heart. And he said, if you're tired of doing it on your own, here's an invitation. Learn from me. I'll give you rest. And what he wants to do is he wants to convince the city of Camel River, the people of Camel River, by the evidence of our transformed lives in community, that Jesus is who he said he is. That's what he said in his last prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus looked forward with eyes of faith. He prayed for himself first, then he prayed for the disciples that were with him, and then he looked forward with eyes of faith to you and me here sitting in these pews in Campbell River Baptist Church, and he said, my prayer is that they would be unified as you and I, Father, are unified, so that the world will know that I am who I said I am. In other words, the mission of Jesus, which is the job he's given us, hinges on whether or not we know how to love each other. So important. Since the beginning, what God has been doing, since the fall, remember we talked about the fall in Genesis, very beginning, humankind fell. Adam and Eve decided to believe the lie that they didn't need God, that they could be their own gods, and they believed the lie of Satan. Everything spiraled out of control. Since then, Genesis 12, he has been gathering for himself a people who will be all about restoring the shalom that was lost in the garden. And so he's gathering us at CRBC to go out in Campbell River to give resources, to give our time, energy, and talents so that be that alternative society within our greater society so that others would come to know Jesus and his kingdom would be expanding in concentric circles out from here and just keep on expanding. And we have been seeing that. And we get to be a part of that partnership with the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. Is that not exciting? Amen. You will be my witnesses. It's not an order. It's a statement of what will be if we believe Jesus and if we cooperate with him. So we are the evidence that points to Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we have the most awesome, exciting job. And that is to go out and be witnesses of Jesus. Allow his love to ooze through us and on to others.